Welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 159, Spotlight on Marvel Comics, Cyclops number 1, circa 2014. And a 1, and a 2, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. And today we are going to do a spotlight on Marvel Comics, Cyclops number 1, circa 2014. That's the new... I think it's only a couple months out, if I'm not mistaken. Written by Greg Rucka and art by Dauterman. I don't remember the first name. I thought I was organized, but apparently not. And then I've lost my mouse. Hello, mouse. Okay.
As nice as you thought.
Yeah, I thought I was doing good. But anyway...
This spun out of All New X-Men when...
Yeah, I was just reading that, because I thought... Because, you know, you got Corsair, I thought he was, like, dead. But apparently, during that thing, he was back to life. All New X-Men number 23, I believe. So, in this series, it... basically, the Cyclops from the future, the young Cyclops, has decided to hook up with his dad, the space pirate, whom he thought he was dead, and they go traipsing along across the universe.
He decides because cranky old Cyclops didn't want to have anything to do with his dad, young,
bright
Cyclops, in fact, did.
Interesting.
All New X-Men is actually one of those go-to titles, even if nothing actually happens on an issue-by-issue basis, because it is Bendis. In the big picture scheme of that book, things do occur.
Yeah, I'm thinking about picking that trade up of that Trial of Jean Grey thing. That sounded interesting because it had the Guardians in it. Of course, we got to have the Guardians. The Guardians is the new Wolverine. I think they're going to be in everything for a while.
Oh my God! They've got Bendis, because he's writing both Guardians and All New X-Men and Uncanny. He has a thing starting up between Kitty Pryde and Peter Quill at the moment.
Oh my goodness!
Really?
I forgot. Yeah, and this is the So she's the current age. She wasn't one of the ones that was brought back. Okay, I'm just saying that for my own.
But
yeah,
if you know by their own logic, she is only 18 or something. So.
Oh, really?
He's making the rounds.
My goodness. Okay. Well, he's a horn dog anyway. We all know that.
Kind of a skank. I'm sorry. I got off track. I apologize.
No. That's cool.
That's where this spun out of. This is a young 5 years ago Cyclops coming to the present because of blah, 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 and yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
Didn't we cover that?
Yes.
All New X-Men at one point?
Yes.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did with all Marvel Now things. So, yeah, Check our archives. I don't remember which episode that was, but it's out there.
What about All New X-Men? Come on.
What? Oh, yeah, All New X-Men. Yeah, check it out. I've read several issues of it. I need to get back on it, and I'm going to actually be able to afford it now.
So yeah, it is Russell. It's Russell Dauterman, by the way, and David Sotomayor.
I saw something on Facebook a minute ago that somebody had said somebody else was going to start doing the art, and they were excited about it, and I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been a female, actually.
In comic books, I don't think so.
Oh, I know. It's hard to believe, but I'm just, you know, I could be wrong, but anyway.
That is
true. But yeah.
Get writer, isn't it?
I don't think he's going to get a new writer.
I thought so. I thought Rucka was...
Maybe well, that would be the main reason for me to want to continue to read it, because I love Rucka's stuff.
Well, anyhow.
Anyway, well, let's just get on with it.
Yeah.
I'll take this one on.
Okay.
Because it was kind of my... This isn't exactly a random one like we usually do. Well, it's sort of random, and then we picked one. So anyway, here we go. Cyclops... Number 1 by Rucka. Is it Dauterman you said?
Dauterman.
I was right the first time. And Sotomayor. Number 1. And we start out and we see a close-up of Cyclops' visor. And he's kind of given a little bit of a recap, kind of what we've said already. He was brought back from the past by the Beast from our time to see, try to get the Cyclops of our time to quit being a, I don't know, I don't have a problem with him as some people, but he turned out to be a bad guy, and this was his way to, you know. So anyway, he finds out his dad's still alive.
As Doc Brown would say, his current self is an asshole. So
yes, yeah, there you go. So here we are. That's kind of a short thing. So we're in space with the Starjammers, with Hetzfa, I believe is her name, where she's kind of like a – okay, anyway, let's just say it. Anyway, and he's just kind of talked about – he found out his dad's alive, and there you can see two people floating in space. And so Scott's talking kind of to himself. He's doing the narration, kind of noir style. It also turns out my dad has a spaceship. Turns out my dad is a space pirate. How awesome is that? So anyway, his girlfriend, which is kind of like a humanoid skunk cat thing, I guess, according to, yeah. So they got some of this deal here, and a special thing for his spacesuit where it lets him use his... Pardon me. It lets him use his optic blasts through it, and they're testing it out. So he's,
he's using it to propel himself, right?
Yes, exactly. It's a pretty cool idea. Yeah. So they're flying around there, and oops, wasn't watching where he's going, and he kind of flies into the ship, kind of went smack. But you know, he embarrassed himself in front of, because he's kind of attracted to her, because I mean, she is pretty hot. So I mean, for a furry skunk female thing.
I like how they write his name when she says it. It's Scott.
Yeah, she's got like an accent. See, that's the kind of thing Rucka does well, is they definitely have, all the characters have distinct voices. Even though you're reading it, you can tell. So anyway, he's kind of embarrassed. They go back inside, and he doesn't want to talk to his dad right off, and he's been trying to write this letter to Gene, apparently, and he's written it about 7 or 8 times. And he's talking. He says, when I was 8, I had a list of things I wanted to be when I grew up. He says, you know the kind of list I mean. All the stupid kid stuff you think is possible. All the stuff you can believe about yourself before life starts punching you in the mouth. I wanted to be a pilot like my dad. I wanted to be an astronaut. I wanted to be a pirate. I wanted to be a knight. I wanted to be a hero. I wanted to do good. I've seen the man I've become. I don't like him very much. So he, you know, shows him with the letter and everything. And the next scene, you see Corsair or Chris Summers, which is Scott's dad, and he's getting a medical scan. And I don't know how he came back to life. I didn't read that thing, but he's getting a scan, and the ship, I believe, is telling him to take his medicine and all this other stuff. Oh, what was that?
Hey, my phone.
Okay. So anyway, she's in there and they're talking and smoochies, and you know, it throws his, the ship's complaining because it's turning his baseline vitals off. So anyway, she's telling him how, you know, his father. All he wants is his father to spend time with him. He says, I'm not sure I know how to be a father. And anyway, so you're back to Cyclops, and he's writing a letter, and he's, you know, throwing things, and the paper, he keeps closing them up. He's talking to the little, I think it's Chi, isn't it? No, it's Kree. Chi is the other guy. Chod, excuse me, is the big lizard reptilian guy. That's his pet, so I always remember seeing that on his shoulder all the time. So they're kind of talking back and forth, and you know, about the spacesuit working the way they wanted to, and you know, as soon as they get to talking about the tactics of it, and all of a sudden they got battle stations, and they're being attacked by a Badoon ship, which are very prevalent in that side of the galaxy, according to the stuff I read in the I reread the Annihilation Conquest stuff. So there's a lot of like who's who type pages on the different stuff. So anyway, they're going in a battle station, and it dropped right on top of them. And the captain's giving orders. He's like runs. He's following the reptile Chod, and he's you know he's like he knows what he's doing. He's thinking. He's like says so we're having a dogfight in space, which would scare me if it wasn't so freaking you know wasn't the coolest thing ever.
See, he's got the whole Luke Skywalker thing going on.
Oh yeah, it's really nicely done, yeah. And you see. Scott's like, or Cyclops, however you want, whatever you want to call him, he's like, gave an order real quiet. He gave an order before he thought about it. Switch your deflectors on double front, and he's like, Chad says what? Or sorry, and he was nothing. Never mind. So anyway, I guess the Badoon are weaponizing debris from other ships, which is interesting.
Is that a line from a science fiction movie, Switch Your Deflectors On, Double Front?
Yeah, actually it is. I just realized that. That's from Star Wars.
Is it? Okay.
So yes. It's when they're doing the first trench run, and the Y-Wing fighter, they're going down that trench, and those turbo laser towers are shooting at him, and that guy said, Switch Your Deflectors On, Double Front. That was a line. That's a line from Star Wars. Now I get it.
Got it.
So he wasn't like, oh, you know, subconsciously thinking what should be done. He was quoting a line from Star Wars. Now I get it.
He was just being a kid.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So anyway, they call it Shredders. Weaponized debris at this speed, it can tear 10,000 punctures in the hull. Our shields can take it. So anyway, you see some of it hitting their shields and kind of going across it like a cascade.
I like that. He says that like this happens to him every day.
Yeah, I know. That's what's cool. Yeah. There's a lot of geeky stuff. That's who I want to be. Not that other guy. Not that future me. Yeah, so then they're talking about that. I like the dialogue in the background. You know, I actually saw, I can't remember which one it was, but I actually read a comic that just came out recently that had thought balloons in it. And I can't remember which one it was, but I was like, oh my god. Thought balloons. Anyway.
Oh, you lie.
No, they're there. Then you say, she's saying, you want it in one piece, my captain? Then this is for you. And Cyclops is thinking to himself, okay, there's something wrong with me because Hefsva made that sound way too sexy. So she blasts it and disabled their drive core. And she says she's ripe for the taking. So they're talking about boarding the ship and taking it over. He's telling who's going to take the helm, and one of the guys wants to go with him, but he's decided he's going to take Cyclops with him, or Scott.
And that's because earlier in the issue...
Yeah, they were talking, yeah.
Got to give your kid some attention.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway... Little, almost some dissension, but not much. And they're just like, that's not what I wanted, but hey, you know. So Chod is telling them they'll have their drive system restored to a minimum of 4 minutes, Corsair. That gives you just another 3 minutes to take the ship. They know you are coming. They will be prepared to repel borders. No disrespect to your son, but are you sure you don't want another one of us with you? And Corsair says, not unless another one of you can fire concussive blasts from your eyes. It'll be fine, Chod. It's the Badoon. Their boots don't have laces for a reason. Which I'm not really quite sure what that means, but hey.
That means they're too dumb to even tie their own shoes.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. So they say a little thing for glory, Chod says, and he says, and girls. And she says, his boss says, and boys. And away we go. So they go out the airlock in their spacesuits. And she's telling Scott, make for the airlock there. You see it? Scott? Yeah, like she says it. He says, I see it. And so Scott's asking, so what do we do? I mean, can you open the door? Corsair's telling him, no doors. That's what they're waiting on. Rule of life, rule of war. Remember this, son. Never do what they expect you to do. Or in other words... Think like a pirate. And then the next scene. You see inside the ship, and the Badoon are getting ready. Remain steady. Murder anything that comes through that air, and then all of a sudden, fahoom! Oh, take a drink. I know that's another podcast, but I was thirsty. So anyway, you see this big, huge gaping hole in the ship, and Corsair's kind of floating there with a blaster, and Hespa's got a big old rifle, and she and Corsair said, and you see Scott there with his eyes are kind of smoking from the blast, and he says, "Surprise! Allow me to introduce myself. This is one of the coolest panels I've seen in quite a while, by the way. I just want to say that, especially the dialogue. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm Corsair. You may have heard of me, leader of the Starjammers, pirate, pilot, and lover extraordinaire." I love that part. That's awesome. "This here lovely lady is my number one heart keeper and tactical inspiration, Hespa. She's also really good with that rifle, so I wouldn't try anything. And this young fellow is my son, Scott. He's the one who just gave your spaceship a sunroof." I love that. "Unless you're wanting him to carve out a swimming pool, too, I consider an unconditional surrender." I'm sorry, I'm laughing and trying to talk. So, next scene, they're taking the prisoners in, and it worked out fine. So, Corsair calls the girl, and has to go discreet, and she says, "Here, I am here, Chris. Is something amiss, love?" "No, no, I got this tin can about patched up. I was thinking, it's not a bad craft, at least not for a Badoon ship. Small, though really designed for a crew of two." And she's, yes, or, you know, "What you said about Scott. I want to do right by him." "Hep. You know what I'm thinking, right? You always do. I know what you're thinking, love, and I love that you're thinking it. And there is this also. You do know how to be his father. You're his father already. You must only be yourself." And he says, "I need you to bring me some things from the ship." So next scene, he sees Cyclops, or Scott. Or I guess I'll just say Scott from now on. Picking up a sword from...
Cyclops.
Huh?
The book is Cyclops, so...
Oh, okay, we'll call him Cyclops. So, Cyclops, he sees Cyclops pick up a sword from the a rack on the wall, and his dad's telling him, good eye, that's a good sword. Most Badoon blades stink. You'd be better off with a bag of kittens in harsh language. That's a good line. I figure they're mostly for show or ceremony. I mean, if you got a blaster or something. So he tells him they're practical, actually. Most armor spacesuits, they're blaster-proof. A good blade can slice one open, rupture the environment. This is not a Badoon blade, though I don't recognize the make. Might as well put it on. You need to get used to wearing it. And he says, seriously? Corsair says, first couple of weeks I wore mine, I was knocking into people, tripping them left and right. Cyclops says, I'll try to be careful. So then Hespa shows up, and she says, Corsair suggests limiters band in 6 weeks' time. A month for the rendezvous there, or else we come looking, yes? I cleared Scott's room, also Sikorsky. He says to take your medicine. Corsair replies, limiter's band is good, and you tell Sikorsky I'm a big boy and I can take care of myself. And Cyclops realized what was said. He says, wait, what? You cleared my room? And then she gives over a big old smooch, and he gets some skunk tail in the face, literally. And so she kisses Cyclops and says, you travel well. Take care of your father for me, yes? So then that's when Cyclops is thinking in his head, I wanted to be an astronaut, a pirate, a hero. What I wanted to be, it turns out, is my dad. And Cyclops asks Corsair, we're taking this ship, just you and me? That is correct. I'm programming a random set of thrilling galactic destinations. 6 wonders of the universe for us to behold. You pick, also. And he tells him, I have no idea how to be a dad to a 16-year-old son. I'm liable to pooch this big time. Cyclops tells him, that's okay. I'm pretty sure I stink at being 16. Corsair tells him, hey, Scott, tell you a secret. Everyone stinks at being 16. And to be continued. Really good. Really good stuff.
16 is a horrible age.
Oh, good Lord, yes.
Rucka, when he's focused, writes really good comic books.
Yeah, I'm surprised to hear that he was going to do this, because I thought he was focusing on his own stuff. Maybe he's just, you know, needing a little extra money or something, or really wanted to do it. Who knows? But it's done really good. I'm already hooked on it. I read the second issue while we were getting ready for the podcast, and I'm probably going to continue reading it, which I was expecting that, because I've really gotten an appreciation for his work lately.
The number 4 issue comes out at the end of August, so
You
have time. It's only 2 more issues to catch up on.
Yeah, I've already read one of them. Yeah, 3 and 4. Oh, no, wait. No, yeah, I see what you said. Okay, anyway. So, what'd you guys think?
I liked it a lot. I like the artist. I think the art is beautiful.
Yes, it is. It's really good art.
I like the tones Rucka does. Like, he's got a good voice for the teenage character there. Like, it felt like a young Scott. It didn't feel like a... Not that Scott ever felt young, I think. Like, even if you go back to the early X-Men, he doesn't ever really sound like he was ever young, but it's kind of neat seeing him as a teenager here, who's, you know, struggling with Jean and trying to find his place in the world and stuff. I love all that stuff, and it's good.
Yeah.
He does a good job.
I agree with you, and I think a lot of that has to do, which they touched in on the first page, and if you don't know the history of Cyclops, is his mom and his dad and his brother Alex and him were all on a plane, and it got hit, and was in a crash, and they, you know, jumped out, and he ended up, you know, he thought his parents were dead up until, you know, they found out later on, and that's when they found out they were abducted by aliens, and that's how the whole Starjammer thing came about. He was like a slave, and him and the rest of them, the Starjammers, were, you know, slaves, and they busted out of that and became pirates. But the fact that that happened to him at such a young age, I think, had a lot to do with it.
And this Cyclops, this one has not had all the additional tragedies in his life.
Exactly.
So the biggest tragedy he's had to deal with has been the death of his parents, and now he realizes, he knows that his dad actually is not dead. So he has to deal with all the other X-Men tragedy that we've seen, that we've all read over the last, you know, 50 years.
Or has it been that long? Yeah, I guess it has, hasn't it?
Well, maybe we haven't read it for 50 years, but 50 years worth of books.
Right, right.
Or however many years. But I guess it's been about 50. Jesus.
Yeah, I believe it has been that long.
I'm old now.
You young whippersnapper.
This Russell Donnerman, you may actually recognize his stuff. Perhaps he did issue number 28 of Nightwing of the New 52. Nightwing's here. He is moving on. Unfortunately, I know you like his stuff, Murray, so he will be on Thor coming up.
Yeah, I seem to remember that now. Good. I'm glad they got a hold of him.
He was working for Boom for a little while, and now has moved on.
That's cool, man.
Wah, wah.
Yeah. Well, I like stuff.
You can buy a page of his art for $200.
Wow.
Or I could get groceries for the week.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus, $200. Wow.
Yeah, that's goes up quick, I guess.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
Wow.
I guess they have to make a living on somehow. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the secondary market is writers can't really do that. Let me write you a poem for $100. I mean, you know. Shocked yourself. You all right? You need a minute in a moment.
Gather myself a bit. No, it was. You're absolutely right, Murray. The art in this was beautiful. And yeah, you're right. Rucka has when he is on, he is on.
Yeah. Perfect example is the one that really shocked me is I got on in a sale was Lazarus. That is such a good book. And they've actually got a sale of going on right now of I forget what it is. I don't think actually it's Ed Brubaker's Fatale that's on sale right now. That's right. They're similar, somewhat similar in writing style, but not much.
I'm sure you're not the first to switch those two up.
Yeah. Something that they wrote that made me think that. I'm looking at the.
They both came up at the same time. They both, got their merit badges from Marvel around the same time. So.
Right. Wow.
Good choice. I.
Yeah, I enjoy that. That was good. I really enjoyed reading that. I'm looking forward to read. Looking forward to reading more of that series.
No, and for all my joking, I mean, the book that it spun out of, All New X-Men, is good stuff.
I read up to a certain point, and I got sidetracked on other stuff. I need to pick that up again. I might just buy the trades. Who knows? Hello? Still there?
Yeah, no, I'm yelling at my kid.
Okay. I thought I was the one that dropped out.
No.
Okay, that's cool. Well, I got the door locked this time, so let them come. They can bang on the door all they want. All right. So I guess that's about it for this one. A little quick one. And you guys got anything else?
Nah. I would read more.
Yeah, I definitely would too.
Marvel... finally, it's just funny that Marvel finally gave Cyclops his own ongoing series, and it's not even the Cyclops that we've been reading for the past.
I think they've done to that character kind of what they did to Batman. They got him up to a point where he was not a character anybody liked. And that was the only way they could do that was. And I'm really shocked considering because he's completely out of that other book now, isn't he?
Cyclops?
Mm-hmm.
Which Cyclops? This one or the old one?
The one from the past. He's out of the all-new X-Men, I would have.
No, this is the only place you're going to find young Scott.
That's interesting. Okay. Well, that's it then.
Old Scott is everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to pick that up too because I was actually enjoying that storyline.
Cranky Scott.
Yeah. He did kill his mentor slash father figure, so I mean that would be kind of hard to take, I imagine.
Oh, we can debate that all day.
Yeah, I know.
He's taken over.
I agree. I mean, that wasn't his fault, but a lot of other people don't think that. He's killing himself over it. But anyway, we already had a podcast about that, so we will wrap it up this time. And let's see. Yeah, and
you want to reach us?
Huh? Oh, yes. You can join us. You can say I'm slightly discombobulated this morning, or this afternoon. See, I don't even know what time it is. Okay, anyway, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelogbox.com, or as you can join us, like people have seemed to be trickling in on our Facebook page. Just do a search for Tales from the Long Box podcast, and you can find us. Due to keeping the spammers out, we're invite. You just send us, say, hey, I want to join, and one of us will get to you. I made Murray an admin recently, so, I think anybody can let anybody in. Just come and join us, and, we have nice discussions on there about all kinds of geeky things, and it's all kinds of fun. And also, you can comment on the actual episodes and let us know what you think there. And that is that. It for this week, and we are out.
What?
What?